This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 96 together now, and Iftikhar is safely on his way, which is great. He's feeling well this morning, and Michelle is going to pick him up, so we'll be hearing from him after coffee. But for now, do turn your Bibles to Psalm 96, which Yichang will read for us, and then we will think about that, what it says. Yichang.
Who sing to the Lord a new song? Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faith.
Yichang, thank you very much. Let's pray as we begin. So, our Father, we ask you again that this morning you would speak to us through your word. Please fill our minds and our heart with your truth, that we may be moved to think and speak and live as you would have us do. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So, who's in charge? It's a pressing question in every part of life. The workplace is a struggle for power. Too many marriages is a struggle for control. Families, I know, are currently waiting to see which school the local authority will let them send their children to. Who is in charge? So much is clearly out of control. Our future, with its uncertainties and worries, suffering in which we feel and are helpless. There's evil. Just on Thursday evening, around the corner from us in Mile End, a man was set upon and then set alight. There's our mortality. Try as we might, we cannot avoid it. We will not live forever. Who is in charge? And it's not just our personal lives. Turn on the news and we hear of the warring factions in Afghanistan. Military, civilian loss of life. And of course it's not just over there. We've heard on American soil in their own base this week. Death and destruction. Overseas we hear of Christians suffering, persecuted, killed for their faith. We hear of so-called secular states demanding complete obedience to its ideologies. Who is in charge? And it's not much better, is it, in this country? When there's a crisis, where do we turn? When the terror alert is raised, we're told, don't worry, Cobra is meeting. All they can do is pick up the pieces. To Tony Blair, do you remember what he used to say? I don't do God when he's in power. Although that seems to have changed now. Evening Standard on Friday, there was an interview with David Cameron about his faith. But he said, if you are asking, do I drop to my knees and pray for guidance? No. Gordon Brown, son of a minister. But he knows the politicians whose faith is seen to influence their work are treated with suspicion. Political correctness means no mention of God in the public square. So who is in charge? And it's into that kind of world, our world, that the message of Psalm 96 is very simple. and enormously refreshing. It's there in the beginning of verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Psalm 96 is about the Lord. As you know, here written in capitals, Yahweh, the one true God, who's revealed himself and entered into relationship with his people Israel. Of course, today this is the Lord who's revealed himself supremely in the Lord Jesus. That's the fundamental Christian truth. Jesus is Lord. He rules. The position of who's in charge is filled. Kings rule over one nation. Some have had an empire spanning whatever percentage of the globe. Here is one king who rules over all nations. The entire planet universe under his rule. All authority, we're told, has been given to the Lord Jesus. But more than that, Psalm 96 tells us that is a truth to be spoken. Did you notice verse 10 again? Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. We're not to keep it to ourselves. We're not just to delight in it on a know-and-tell weekend away. We know what is true of the whole world. Jesus rules over every nation, every individual, and they need to hear it. We've been thinking that is a challenge, to say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Well, let's see what help Psalm 96 gives us as we go about that. The first thing it tells us is sing to the Lord who saves. Sing to the Lord who saves, verses 1 to 3. Notice how verse 1 begins, sing to the Lord. Again in verse 1, sing to the Lord. Into verse 2, sing to the Lord. The message we begin is very clear. Psalm 96 expects the knowledge of the Lord, the truths we've been thinking about this weekend, will reach our hearts. We won't be able to keep it in. Our hearts will be bursting with praise. Whether we are tuneful or not, we'll be moved to sing to the Lord. And on our lips, we're told, verse 1, is a new song. What does it mean to be a new song? Well, as we read on in verse 1, we're told this is for all the earth. Now, throughout the Old Testament, God always had a concern for the nations. But with Jesus' command now to go make disciples of all nations, it's explicit. And as the message of the gospel spreads to where it wasn't heard before, as people come to know the Lord, if you like, they learn new lyrics and break into song to the Lord. And we join, don't we, in that wonderful sound. It's new to us when we become Christians, but even as we go on as Christians, as we experience afresh the goodness and kindness of the Lord, as we appreciate those old truths in new ways, our singing never becomes stale. We have a new song in our hearts. But notice how the focus changes halfway through verse 2. We sing to God and then we speak to others about him. We are to tell of his salvation from day to day. Verse 3 is specific. This is to declare his marvellous works. That old question people ask us, so what is God doing? Where can we see what he has done? Well, I hope we are very quick to answer that question. In the Old Testament, Israel could have spoken of the Passover, the rescue through the Red Sea, the establishment of the king in Israel. But we now much more look back to the death and resurrection supremely of the Lord Jesus. That is what God has done in the world. Those are marvellous works of rescue, which we are to proclaim day after day after day. So that's a great encouragement for the next couple of weeks in Know and Tell as we look at boxes 4 and 5. Those are the marvellous works of the Lord. It's worth being able to explain them clearly and simply, and then look for opportunities to do what we are told here, to declare his marvellous works among the peoples. So, verses 1 to 3, you can't shut Christians up. When we are silent, we've obviously lost sight of how great the Lord is. We sing to the Lord who saved us, and then we speak of that salvation to others. The two go together. So as we go to church this afternoon and delight in singing the Lord's praises, let's look at the words we're singing and resolve to speak those truths to others through this week. Let's let our enthusiasm, which I think we all have, overflow. We chat, don't we, about what excites us, that goal on Match of the Day, the concert we went to. There is often news of family or progress at work to be shared. But what God has done is something to share with those around us. So let's not miss that opportunity when it comes to overflow. Let our enthusiasm come out and speak of the Lord's marvellous works among all the peoples. So we'll sing to the Lord who saves. Next, Psalm 96 shows us we're to fear the Lord who creates. Fear the Lord who creates. So from London to Lisbon to Lagos, everyone has a god or gods, whether that's what they call them or not. We were made to worship, and we will find something, that thing we're committed to, the thing we love, that we put our energy into, our gods. They may be tangible. It may be silver or gold or bricks and mortar. It may well be intangible, as we thought about this weekend. But whatever it is, the question to ask in line with verse 4 is, are they, is it greatly to be praised? That is the standard of something that is to be a god. Is it greatly to be praised? We've just been told, consider our Lord's marvellous works. So set our God up and ask it, can you raise the dead? More than that, Psalmist goes on to remind us of a fundamental truth in the second half of verse 5. The Lord made the heavens. Box 1. He is the creator God. He rules over what he has made, everything. Many people think box 1 is a positive, easy to share truth. But then, of course, to say that the Lord reigns is disturbing, because if he created everything, he must have created the other gods, which means that they do not reign. So box one is actually a challenge to the world, because it's saying your idols are just that. They are not gods. They are not worthy of praise. They are as nothing, unable to do anything. So as we know the temptations of our hearts, but more than that, see those around us, however sophisticated that religion appears, however sincere the faith, however seemingly successful the lifestyle, if the Lord Jesus is not at its heart, it is as nothing. Or to use the word in verse 5, worthless. Because the rule of our God is unrivaled. So we can be bold in speaking of the Lord Jesus. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, from the passionately religious in the East End of London to the urbane irreligious of the West End, we know that the Lord is the one that they are to fear above all gods. And of course, it's great news for them. It's only those mighty works which can save them. They need to turn from their idols and come to know the one true God of verse 6. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So, sing to the Lord who saves. Fear the Lord who creates. Next, we are to worship the Lord who is holy. Worship the Lord who is holy in verses 7 to 9. Three times in verses 7 and 8, ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. The Lord is due glory to his name. And we are to give that to him. He is worthy of that praise. But not only from us. The world doesn't think that our Lord is worthy of praise. It just sidelines him. No time for God. But what we find here applies to everyone, whether they like it or not. Notice verse 7 is actually a command. All the families of the nations are to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. So in our evangelism, we are issuing a command to ascribe to the Lord what is due to him. We know it will come back, an accusation of our arrogance. Far greater arrogance is demonstrated by those who refuse to worship the Lord who made them, who made the heavens and has done such marvellous works. According to verse 9, it's only right that he is worshipped in the splendour of his holiness. We're to tremble before him. Because, of course, verse 9 there does raise this problem. The very holiness of God means we're commanding people to do something which they can't do. They can't come to him. They can't enter into his courts. According to verse 8, Israel needed to bring an animal offering to make atonement for their sin. And as we know, those offerings point forward to the Lord himself, who is the ultimate sin offering. So as we trust in Christ, we can do, verse 8, we can enter the Lord's court to give him the praise that he deserves. Hebrews tells us that is a once-for-all sacrifice that Christ has made. We no longer need to offer one like that. But we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that praise his name. It's almost as if the writer of the Hebrews has read Psalm 96. And more than that, in Hebrews we read, those sacrifices of our lips will be matched in our lives. The nitty-gritty, doing good, sharing what we have with others. Those are the offerings that please God today. So sing to the Lord who saves. Fear the Lord who creates. Worship the Lord who is holy. And now we've reached again verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. If we haven't thought of it so far, of course, there is a problem, isn't there, with that beginning of verse 10. We're to declare that the Lord reigns. But so often it doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it to us. All the situations we thought of earlier, we are tempted to wonder, does the Lord reign? The world carries on as it wants and gets away with it. The nations dismiss Jesus and seem to grow in power. The wicked prosper. At a personal level, even in our own lives, we might begin to doubt, does the Lord reign? How are we to respond? Well, I think that brings us to the fourth mark in this psalm of those who say that the Lord reigns. We're to rejoice in the Lord who judges. Rejoice in the Lord who judges, which is verses 10 to 13. Why doesn't the Lord do something about the state the world is in? And Psalm 96, like so much of the Bible, is telling us he will. Verse 13 over the page, we've got ESV, reassures us, the Lord will judge the world in righteousness and faithfulness. Now that is a promise to us. Unlike those idols which promise much but deliver nothing, our Lord keeps his word. We need not be in any doubt. He will come to judge. And it's emphasised, verse 10 and again in verse 13, it is the peoples of the earth that will face him. Not only the people of God, but all the peoples. So whatever those around us say or think about Jesus now, they'll have to give an account to him of how they have treated him. But the amazing thing then in verses 10 to 13 is that is taken to be a cause of much rejoicing. God's judgment is a cause for rejoicing. Now, of course, it won't be that for us if there's that nagging question in our minds. If the Lord were to come this morning at 11, how would I fare at 11:01? Because we know, on our own account, it would be frightening because we're not fit to enter God's presence. Which again, with verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 96, were a great encouragement. They've said to us, speak of God's marvellous deeds day by day. And this is not only for the sake of others. As we do this, it'll benefit us. There's no greater way of staying close to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus than if we are speaking it to others. Because we will be reassured this is true. I can speak of a cross in which I am trusting and which has saved me. I need not fear God's judgment. We are safe. And then even more than that, we will look forward to this great day along with the whole created order. Let's read verses 11 to 13 again. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. So the prospect of a Lord's coming moves all creation, heaven and earth, seas and fields, forests, to sing for joy. Because all those things we thought about earlier at the beginning, the effects of sin will be undone. Everything will be put right. Injustice no more. Truth upheld and given its rightful place. All will together with us joyfully declare the Lord reigns. I don't know about you, but after a weekend like this, I'm very encouraged. I'm determined to go out and tell the gospel. But I hit the real world and I think it doesn't fit. Have I got it all wrong? Psalm 96 is saying, no, we haven't. The Lord reigns here as much as back in London or wherever we will be this week. In fact, more than that, we've not just got it right. We are actually the ones in tune with where all of creation is heading. We feel like the odd one out, whereas actually we are in tune with all of God's plan for where the world is heading. We say now the Lord reigns, and he does now, and one day that will be utterly vindicated. One day the reign of King Jesus will be implemented in full in every way in all the earth. Let's remind ourselves of that truth day by day. What a fantastic day that will be. We can rejoice because the Lord judges. So Psalm 96, uncompromising but reassuring. The Lord reigns. Jesus is king over all the peoples of the earth. And Psalm 96 tells us how we should be standing out this week. We'll be singing, proclaiming, declaring, ascribing, worshipping and rejoicing. Psalm 96 exhorts us, if we know these truths, then sing to the Lord who saves, fear the Lord who creates, worship the Lord who is holy, and rejoice in the Lord who judges. That is how we will say to the nations, the Lord reigns. Let's pray as we close. Our Father, thank you so much that you have established your Son as Lord over all the nations of the earth. Thank you for your acts of salvation for us. May we proclaim them day after day after day. And we praise you for that wonderful day coming when there will be no more resistance to the rule of King Jesus, and your creation will be as you intend. May we and the whole earth sing your praises for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.